Salt.
It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Hey, pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for...
World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning there, folks. It is what, Wednesday morning, the 10th day of March. How it can be March already? I don't even have any idea. And we just had a little blurb into intro there. And Spencer said, I don't know how that happened. Listen, folks, I want you to understand, part of the problems that we have here is depending on what platform you're listening to the show or watching the show on, sometimes there's a delay. And you'll hear a lot of times when people try to come in to talk, I say, okay, John, come on in. John might be on a delay, and it may be 3 or 4 seconds before he hears me say, hey, John, come on in. And sometimes it tends to make us walk on top of each other. So I don't want anybody to think that people out there are rude and just jump in on top of each other. That's not what's going on. Some of you are picking it up on a delay. So just want you to be aware of that, because I've had some emails. So, yeah, this guy sure is rudeness. I said, no, that's really not the issue. And so, well, as we do this dialogue, isn't technology absolutely amazing that I can sit here in Central Ohio and Steve Deck can hear me instantly in New Jersey? Or Michelle can hear me instantly in South Africa, although there may be a delay there. Don't even try to explain to me how that works, because I do not have it figured out. Not only can they hear me, but they can see me, right? It is really, really unbelievable technology. You know, the Bible says that right now we see dimly. We don't understand. I'll never forget what I heard Ken Hovind, Dr. Dino, say one time. Somebody asked him, if all this stuff is, if that old Bible's true, then how come the Lord doesn't show us? And I'll never forget what Dr. Hovind said. He said, well, there's some things the Lord just doesn't want us to know. And I thought, boy, oh boy, is that, it's like a parent, right? You tell your kids everything? Of course you don't. There's some things that you just don't want them to know. And so we get into the job or the business of trying to figure out God or tell God what we want to do, or all those instances, we end up getting frustrated, don't we? So we had a 75th birthday party for my sister yesterday up at Sky High. And I want to acknowledge and thank God again for bringing that beautiful property into our lives. And for all the guys who, Ryan Duncan and Mark Trump and Joe and Steve Deck and Bob Evans. And I'm forgetting some people. But to know that the fruit of your labors and just the fruit of all of your labors and what a blessing it is and is going to continue to be to people. I just want to acknowledge that. And, you know, when we bought that property, I was so overwhelmed and my wife was so overwhelmed. I thought, God, I couldn't see the end of any tunnel on that thing. And I had some people who came to Sky High, like my brothers came to Sky High last night for the first time. Can you believe that? They live 5 miles away from me, but they and their families, we're a loving, caring family. We don't punch each other in the face. We don't have any problems like that. But for whatever reason, we've had Sky High for almost 2 years and they had never been to that property. And they walked out on that deck when that sun was going down and unbelievable. Oh my goodness. God's good. So I just want to acknowledge that this morning. Listen, we got a miracle we got to talk about today. And then I'm going to have John Diamond jump in here with us. Wait a minute. Let me back up. Let's go in this order before I even get into the miracle, because I don't want to miss this. Spencer, if you can, pull up that video that I said. I only sent you one thing this morning, brother. Pull that up. Folks, this just blessed my heart. This is this freshman congressman. Her name is... Hang on there a second. I can't remember her name. Boebert. I don't know if you guys have seen this or not. Lauren Boebert, a freshman congressman. And she made, this is only a minute video. Only a minute. But this one made me stand up and cheer in my living room when I watched it for the first time. She made this video, Madam Secretary, tear down this wall. I want you to watch this, and then we're going to talk about a miracle beyond what anybody would ever thought, and the way that nobody would ever believed it would have happened occurred yesterday. So go ahead and play Madam Speaker tear down that wall from Representative Lauren Boebert.
I'm Lauren Boebert, a mom, a small business owner, a defender of freedom. Here's what I know. You protect what you love. President Trump built a big, beautiful wall because he loves America and he wanted to secure our country and protect us from drugs, illegal aliens pouring into our communities, and sex traffickers. Democrats, they fought him every step of the way. And now, welcome to Fort Pelosi, where Democrats decry walls from within their own heavily guarded razor wire wall. Democrats don't want to protect you because they don't care about you, but they'll spare no expense protecting themselves. We will not build a wall.
No, there will not be another foot of wall constructed in my administration.
I'm not for a wall.
It's time to cut the crap and remember, this is the people's house. Madam Speaker, tear down this wall.
Boom! Boom on that one.
Major boom. Oh, that's awesome.
Ba-boom, Coach.
Oh, we better pray for that girl. There'll be buzzards circling around her soon if she keeps up that kind of attitude. But that really, that's it, isn't it? Boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. Okay, so here's what happened. I'm going to give a backstory on this. Then this is just, God is amazing, folks. Yesterday, I wasn't able to go. Jeff Klein and Pastor Bill Dunphy and about 8 or 10 people from New Beginnings Church about 4 years ago, maybe I forget how long it was again, Jeff, you can fill us in on that. We had strippers because Jeff and his crew were diligently standing outside of the strip club up near their church. For 10 years, Jeff and those guys were faithfully out there on Friday nights, witnessing, standing outside there. One day, the strippers came to church. That's right. On a Sunday morning, we arrived at the church, and the strippers were out front, topless. They were sitting outside the church, topless. And they came and they intimidated people going in and out. It was something pretty amazing. By the way, that's a face violation, federal access to clinic entrance, face violation. Well, Pastor Bill and the folks there at New Beginnings Ministry, Michelle and I were part of it, filed a federal lawsuit against the owners of the strip club and all the strippers that came and yada, yada, yada. And it has been in litigation for, again, Jeff, I can't, time flies, maybe 5 years. It's been a lot. That's what's wrong with the justice system. It takes so damn long to get justice, right? So 5 years. And so yesterday was the second time now in 2 years that they've tried to do a mediation hearing. Neither the attorneys, the judges, nobody wants this thing to go to trial. And so they say, can't you guys settle this thing out of court? And Tom, God bless Tom Condit, our attorney, the one who fights for a lot of us. Tom Condit went yesterday in the mediation, and it took literally all day long. Because the people at New Beginnings, although they were willing to forgive, did not want to forgive without some price being paid, right? Hey, folks. Forgiveness is a good thing, but there's also retribution. There's payback, right? When you've damaged somebody, there has to be a retribution. There has to be accountability. So, you know, most of the Christian world would say, oh, well, just forgive them, brother. They're just lost. Just forgive them. Well, Jeff and Pastor Bill and the crew have relentlessly, actually about 3 years ago, they gave the strip club the opportunity to get out of the lawsuit without having to pay a cent. If they would just agree to do a couple things, don't come to the church anymore. I can't remember what all the restrictions were, but they wouldn't do it. They would not do it. They wouldn't bend. They wouldn't bow. They were going to fight it to the end. Well, yesterday was the final opportunity at a mediation where I don't know if you guys know how mediation works. The two lawyers come in and it's like backroom dealing. A lawyer comes in and talks to your group, and then the mediators come in, they talk to your group, and then they go to the other room and they talk to the other group. And they say, well, here's their latest proposal. What do you think? And they say, well, we don't like this, we don't like that. And then they go back to Jeff and those guys. Well, Jeff, they're willing to do this, and they'll give up this, and this. What do you think about that? And then Jeff says, yeah, well, we'll give up that, but we want this. And the mediator goes back. It's going on all day long yesterday. I'm just trying to set the scene. And Jeff and Pastor Bill and our group had put some stipulations of things they wanted, some monetary damages, not because we wanted the money, but because they got to learn that they can't do it. You can't do that. Just because we're church, we're not going to roll over and let you guys walk all over us. Because if you do it here and get away with it, you'll do it somewhere else. By the way, Jeff, did you see Michelle Davis was arrested? I don't know if you saw that or not. Michelle Davis, the lady who went into, guys, remember the girl that went into the Catholic Church and during that pro-life event they had, went in there. And remember I showed you that video? She was arrested. They're arrested and charged yesterday with criminal trespassing and something else. So see, we the church have to raise up a standard and let them know, no, that isn't going to happen here. Not going to happen. So late in the evening, yesterday, literally late in the evening, Jeff called and left me a message. You know me, I go to bed pretty early. And another buddy of ours, Cal Zastro, who, by the way, listen to this. Cal Zastro is one of the guys who showed up to the mediation after having spent the previous four nights in jail for performing an abortion rescue down in someplace in Tennessee. Cal had spent the four previous nights in jail. He got out of jail. And he drove to Columbus, Ohio to be part of the mediation that took place yesterday. So Cal called me on his way home after the mediation.
Coach.
Got muted.
You're muted.
I was muted. I heard you. Thanks. I don't know what happened. Got muted. So I don't want to keep on with this because I want to get John Diamond in here. So last night they reached a decision. Are you ready for the case is now over and you are not going to believe the settlement agreement. Okay, Jeff, come on in here, Jeff, and tell us the settlement agreement.
Coach, what did you just say when you started the show? We sometimes don't know what God is doing. I'm going to tell you something. All those years.
How long has it been, Jeff?
It's been right around 11 or 12 years outside of that place every weekend. About 5 or 6 years dragging this out through the courts. The judge did not want this to go to trial. They've done everything in their power to keep us from sitting in front of a jury. Yesterday, we are in the judge's courtroom all day, right where they were going to try it, if it was going to be tried. Cal Zastro, Pastor Bill, Mary Jane, me, all, we got to pray over that judge's desk, the jury seats. I mean, we were in, and Cal's singing, you know what I mean? This was a crazy, crazy day in our corrupt court system. Then mediators were the judge's secretaries. They were his right-hand women. They were both attorneys. They're young. They were both Christian, both attending church. And they had got to listen to us all day. The stories about breasts being pressed against windshields on vehicles, little kids being scared at our church, the evil that went on outside of that place, the hatred of us for years, the cussing we took, the spitting in the face, the bomb in the dumpster, everything. And they were just blown away. We sit there all day. It started off with just get the one lady off. Some lady, I don't know what her name was, dismiss her from the case. Well, that took 2 or 3 hours back and forth. Then the next one, Tom George, the owner of the Foxhole, his girlfriend, she's filed bankruptcy. What can we do to get her out? Blah, 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 back and forth. And I was ready to walk. I'm like, I am sick of this nonsense. This is the same crap we've heard for years.
Okay, so cut to the chase. We get the picture. Well, cut to the chase.
It's kind of hard to cut to the chase, Coach, when I say what I'm going to say and everybody's like, what? You know what I mean? It's a, we ended up telling them, we're going to drive a stake in the ground, people. It's 6 o'clock, 6:30. We're going to drive a stake in the ground here. We're tired of the corrupt courts, this and that. We had no expectation of this coming. We're sitting there, and all of a sudden these girls come back in with something, for a proposal from them. Now, they still didn't want to give up too. They wanted us to keep giving up stuff. And I said, no, we're not giving up nothing. We've done nothing criminally wrong. They did the crime. We didn't. We are not giving up nothing. So finally they come back in and they said, okay, here's the deal. We got good and bad news. The good news is they'll stay away from the church a quarter of a mile away. But the other part of it is they said, because we finally just said, we want $75,000. We got to give the attorney something. They've got right now $480,000 in it pro bono. Now here we got to make this decision. This was a tough one. And they come in and looked at us. The proposition to us was, okay, Tom George, the owner, and his girlfriend of that strip club have agreed. Because they said, oh, first he said on the $75,000, they told us he has no money. He's filing bankruptcy. There's some things going on. And I told Pastor Bill this earlier in the day. I said, what if he's broke? They did shut the other foxhole down in Zanesville. It's closed. This one's still struggling. I said, what if he's broke? There's no business. He has no money through COVID. What if? And then we heard health situations about 4 years ago. He come to Pastor Bill one night, and we don't know if this is true or not. He said, Pastor Bill, I got cancer. And he walked off one night years ago with Pastor Bill, and I told him.
This is Tom George, the strip club owner.
Yeah.
Has cancer.
So, and this is a dangerous scene down there. This is dangerous. So we told
Pastor Bill. Okay, Jeff, he got us on the edge of our seats. So the two women come in, and what is the proposal?
All right. They're coming to church. They said they will come to the church. So here's what the problem is going to be. A lot of people aren't going to understand. They're going to be like, what? With the whole situation.
What do you mean they're coming to church?
They've offered to come to the church for 2 months. They're going to behave. They are going to come and sit through the services.
Tom George, the strip club owner who's been fighting tooth and nail, who now has cancer, has agreed to the court that he will come to New Beginnings Church and sit in church services for 8 consecutive weeks and go into at least 3 time counseling with Pastor Bill Dunphy. Is that true? And that's the order of the court.
Yeah. You know, and we don't know if he's got cancer right now. I mean, he said that 4 years ago, but there's something going on. But, you know, all these years up there, like 6-7 years into it, we were sharing this yesterday. I said, Pastor Bill, do you remember when we were just sick and tired of being up there? And we started, and then we had a little bit of question on the Lord. Lord, what are you doing with us here? Lord, just shut this place down. Lord, we want to go do something. Do we want to go back to the abortion place? Well, at that point, Pastor Bill had a dream, a vision one night. The building was gone. It was nothing but a body of water. That place became the fishing hole. He said, I don't know what it is. The Lord showed me a body of water. So we're looking at this last night. Did we just catch two big fish? Do we turn our backs on God right now? I looked over at Pastor Bill when this proposition came out. He looked up at the ceiling and he was like, what? He was speechless. I've never seen him speechless before. He's rolling this around in his mind, and we're like, what do we do?
Jeff, they're the ones who said, we will come to church. That was their offer to you.
Yes.
Not as strippers. They'll come, and they'll sit in the congregation, yes, and they'll behave, and they'll listen to the preaching, and they'll shake hands with the people. And if I understand it right, they said a month, but then you said, no, 2 months. 2 months,
yeah,
right?
And then we decided, oh, well, let's don't make it 2 months. Well, they had already given the proposition of 2 months, and they come back and they said yes. So now we're looking. Now think about this. Here's two people, which here, this layer like this one, they think they're Christian. They think they're Christian. They really believe it. So now they're going to walk into our church, and we said, let's have a meeting first. Let's let Pastor Bill sit down with them. Oh, this is great. We got to the end and we're like, what do we do? What do we do? We're trying to get a hold of the attorneys out of Florida. This is like, okay, do we turn our backs on these two people and deny them the opportunity to be able to fellowship with them and share scripture with them? Or do, you know, what do we do? The whole thing come down to Pastor Bill looks around and, man, he's weighing this through his mind. He's like, what do we do? He says, okay, here's what I want. If we're going to sign this deal, you know, we could be being played for fools. We don't know. But what do we do? He says, here's what I want. You take this back to them and they sign this. I want you put this request out. One last request. Have them all come over into this room with their attorney and we all sit down together and sign this. And we break the ice here because we said, how would you like to be Tom George and walk in our church Sunday morning for the first time and face all them people? So let's face him now. Let's do it right here. They come over. We got to say a few things. Pastor Bill said something to him. It was
they came in to the courtroom where you guys were, Tom George and his wife, after 11 years of battle. They came in to the church.
Yep.
And you guys signed the deal, embraced one another, and they're coming to church on Sunday.
I was the last one to sign the document. It went around that way, and right to my left was Tom and Tina sitting there to my left. I signed it, handed it to Tom George. I stood up, and I said, Tina, stand up, give me a hug. She stood up and gave me a hug, and I had tears in my eyes. I looked at Tom George. I said, Tom, stand up. I hugged him. And I said, well, we told him, I said, you know, all these years, I said, let's just move on. And then they went around the room hugging everybody, hugging our attorney, Tom Condit. We got a few pictures. You know what I mean? It was.
So it was amazing. It was justice and pardon at the same time, wasn't it, Jeff?
Amen.
Huh? Amen, justice came, and we don't even know what kind of pardon might really be out there for Tom and Tina, do we? We don't really know what kind of wow.
Yep.
Jeff, I know you got him. I know. Open. Is it still open, Jeff? Strip club still open?
Oh yeah, it's still open. There's not much business there, but it's still open. And you know, when we were thinking all this, we're like, who are we to decide this? Let's just bring them in. You know what I mean? We've been asking God for how many years to give us an answer. Do we turn it down at that point? What do we do? You know what I mean? I told Pastor Bill, I said, walking out the doors, I said, man, I said, Coach missed it. I wish he would have been here to witness this. This was crazy.
So listen, folks, the Lord's going to close that strip club by changing the owner's heart. That's what you're going to see happen.
Amen. We have said that for years.
Are
y'all allowed to still go outside the strip club? Yeah, are y'all allowed to protest?
Oh, yeah. That was supposed to be, too. I told them ladies and attorneys, I said, now listen, we are not going across the other side of the road. That road is ours. It's public property. That parking lot is public access. We are still allowed to go up to that concrete at the back door. We're not giving that up. So I said, no, we're not doing it. This is what they've wanted for years, to drive us away from that back door. We're not doing it. Well, we're still allowed to go to the back door.
You know, so, Jeff, instead of $75,000, you now have the opportunity to reap a harvest of souls, don't you?
Amen.
Which would you rather have, folks?
Yep.
Which would you rather have? Chris, come on in. I see your hand up there. John Diamond, get ready. I'm going to bring you in here in a second. Chris, come on in. Got to unmute yourself. Oh, John says he's got to leave in 15 minutes. Okay, we'll come back to it. Come on in, John. Come on in. Hey, folks, listen. I got John up to ask him to do this, and he's got to go to take his kids to school. I'm sorry, John. This was a last-minute change here, brother. Go ahead, man. What do you got for us this morning, John?
No, that's no problem. I want to say with the praise report that Jeff just gave, the reason that that's happening. One, Christians have to be willing to go into the secular courts and fight for their rights. Secondly, we have to appeal to heaven and we have to go with imprecatory prayer so we can get a higher ruling. That's exactly what you're seeing right now. You're seeing God changing courts and hearts and judges' minds because one, we're willing to confront the evil in the appeal system like we're supposed to, and then we don't just stop there. So, I mean, I praise God for what Jeff is saying there. We need to do that more often. They will not take most of this stuff to court because they have no authority. They have no constitutional authority to do anything they're doing. That's why they always back down when Christians stand up. So I praise God for that praise report.
Yeah.
Amen, John.
It is, man. It was an appeal to heaven for sure, right?
Coach, you know what? I told them women finally at the end of the day, towards the end of the day, I said, listen, I'm sick and tired. Nothing against you people, but attorneys and corrupt courts and corrupt judges. I said, I am so sick and tired of it. The evil keeps flourishing. I said, we're not backing down. When that all went down and we were hugging them, I looked over them two lady attorneys and Tom George's attorney Rankin. They were standing in the background. They didn't come up to our group. They stood there for a good 20, 25 minutes, never said a word. They're probably looking like, wow, what just happened here? This don't happen in the courts. You know what I mean? That's
great. Okay, John, come on in. Give us what you have. Well, Larry, real quick, then John.
Yeah, I'm curious. What was the judge's reaction and participation? Did he reveal anything about his situation as that closed down?
The judge was sitting at home watching TV. He didn't know what was going down until this morning when they told him. He had no clue.
Mediators only, Larry. Mediators only were there. Wasn't before the judge. All right, John's got to run. Let's get John's got a nugget for us here. Come on in, John.
Hey, two things I want to bring to your attention here real quick. And I know sometimes, Coach, when you introduce me, you say Christian historian. I'm really more of a theologian that studies history. David Barton and William Federer are Christian historians, and they do a great job. I get a lot of my information actually from them, but I approach everything from a theological standpoint first, and then I study history from that. Couple gotcha. Things that we have to understand. Can you go to Ecclesiastes and let me read this? Ecclesiastes 1:9-10.
Yeah, Spencer's the best. Go ahead, Spence.
And this is, I mean, this is what we have to have as the foundation for everything we do. It says everything that has been, I'm sorry, go to 11 too, 9, 10, and 11. Sorry about that, Spence. It says the thing that has been is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done. There is no new thing under the sun. Is there anything whereof it must be said? See, this is new. It has already been done in old times, which is before us. Now, here's the key. There is no remembrance of former things, neither shall there be any remembrance of things to come with those that shall come after. In other words, we don't understand history. We don't study history. And we have to understand we keep trying to reinvent the wheel. And that's what I see so many times in Christianity. Pull that slide up, would you? Because history is not linear. It just does just follow this timeline. History is cyclical. It just goes over and over and over and over again. Well, if we've dealt with the same problems for thousands of years, why don't we just use the same solution that was used every single time that the problem raised up? So when I was in Air Force Leadership School, we had a general come in, and he said probably the most impactful thing that I've ever heard in my life. He said, when sergeants, you come to me, do not come to me with a problem. Come to me with a solution. Because if you come into my office with a problem, all you're doing is complaining. He said, I don't have the time to fix your problem. I don't have the knowledge to fix your problem. As leaders, you identify the problem and come in with a solution. And that has stuck with me. So everything that I have ever done, especially with both of my books, and a lot of the coach, you know this, we get all these guys up speaking at these conferences and everybody wants to talk about the problem and nobody wants to give a solution. And there's no action steps when we leave. That is starting to change. And that's what I think a lot of our outreaches need to be. We not only do we need to go in there and tell people what the problem is give them clear action steps. So what we're working on here, this is God. I had a board from another church call me in Sunday night. I had the Catholic priest in town call me in yesterday morning and said, I want you to teach me how to evangelize and how to evangelize my people. I mean, this is a Catholic priest, and you were raised Catholic. I was raised Catholic. You know how much of a massive titanic shift that is. So what we're going to be working on, and he's all before this, is creating these sanctuary cities where we draw these lines in the sands. Here's God's law. Here's the Constitution. We are not backing down from anything and anybody on either of these, and we'll take them into court if we have to. So we're going to take over city government. We're going to take these things into court. We're going to appeal to heaven to get these rulings in our favor. I'll do a whole teaching on sanctuary cities. They're actually biblical. They were used throughout the Old Testament.
Sure were.
The founding fathers used them. It's right in the Declaration of Independence. The Underground Railroad used them. So these sanctuary cities, just standing and defending our rights from a higher power. I'm going to be bringing Matt Truella in too, who does the Doctrine of Lesser Magistrate, and have him speak to everybody. This is what we need to do in community and community throughout this nation. Draw two lines in the sand, go to the gates of the city as the ecclesia, and demand that our rights be respected. When we do that, we can get the light back into every institution, and the darkness will get pushed out.
That's right, John. We're bowing our knee to the federal government all the time, when, of course, we could do a history lesson, the 9th and 10th Amendments. That was not the way it was ever designed to be. And so we see people are not pushing back because of edicts, pretended legislation, color of law coming from the federal government. They don't have the authority to do what they're doing. By the way, Ohio Brett, are you in here, Ohio Brett? Because I'm going to have you tell your story here in just a minute, as soon as John gets done. John, could you explain for us real quickly? Because I know you got to.
I'm here, Coach.
Okay, Brett, I want you to tell your story here in a second, brother. John, explain that chart that's up on the screen right now. I mean, people can read, but walk us through this.
Well, what you have, and you can look at the book of Judges. They went through this over and over and over again. And this is, I think it's in both of my books. But let's just start with a country that has liberty. When a country has liberty, they get blessed because they're obeying God's law. That leads to abundance. Then when the nation gets abundant, they start to get selfish as they fight over all the prosperity. And then they end up, once everybody's got all this, you know, prosperity, everybody's rich and the middle class is all rich, then you have complacency. That leads to apathy. That apathy ends up leads on dependence, and especially dependence on government. And then whenever, you know, a government big enough to give you everything you want is big enough to take everything you have, we fall into bondage. And that's what COVID revealed, that we are a tyrannical, atheistic police state wrapped in an American flag as a facade. We are in bondage to many of our government leaders and the courts and everything else. And what it's going to take is spiritual faith and great courage to once again give us liberty.
What a picture that is, John. That is it, isn't it, brothers, huh? It's going to take great spiritual faith and great courage to restore liberty to us. That's what
Absolutely.
Happened. That was the revolution, wasn't it, John?
Without a doubt. That was everything. You can follow that through basically the first American Revolution, what the abolitionists did, what Martin Luther King did. I mean, anybody who has bestowed liberty has broke people out of bondage and slavery and gave. I mean, look at even Christ. It took great spiritual faith and great courage to go to the cross to give us liberty.
Amen.
That's what we need to be modeling. So I'm going to do a whole team.
Are we up to it, church? That's the question. Are we up to it, church? See, again, in my mind, this is part of what we're talking about when we're getting our huddles together. You will become the hub of this type of activity. And we can't sit around. See, listen, friends, whether you understand this or not, you know more than the average person you come in contact with every day from a biblical perspective, just having been in here for over 5 years, some of you. You know more. You are the expert. So how long are we going to continue to wait for the Lord to send a deliverer when the deliverer is already here? And you say, well, I can't do this. Hey, dude, plant a seed. Well, yeah, so jump in, get a lifeboat and jump in and see who else jumps in with you, because we're going to need these in local locations where we live. More and more as we move forward. Go ahead, John. I didn't mean to walk on you.
No, that's perfect. I appreciate it. You just summed up what all we said. So those are the two things. I mean, and the education is the key. We got to know what our rights are, where they come from, and we got to have the faith and the courage to draw those lines in the sand. And God will fight our battles. God will go before us if we're just willing to stand for what is ours. And I mean, that's throughout biblical history. Christians don't have a problem.
That's Christians the appeal to heaven, right, John? The appeal to heaven.
Exactly. Christians don't have a problem knowing the truth. Christians have a problem accepting the consequences. Because every time we say, well, if I do that, then this could happen. You have to leave consequences in the hands of God. You just have to blindly obey truth and God and the law and the Constitution. And then you need to trust God for the consequences. Could you get fired? Yes. Could you get martyred? Yes. Could you go to jail? Yes. Every saint in the Bible did. But if you let the consequences dictate your actions rather than faith and courage, then you will always back up. And that's what the church has done for 60 years. We just back up, back up, back up until now we're pushed in the corner with the Equity Act and all this other stuff. We need to reestablish those two lines like I spoke about Saturday. God's law and the Constitution, and we refuse to budge. And if trouble comes, that's fine. Let it be in my day so my kids may know peace.
So Cal Zastro and about six or seven others were down in Tennessee, and they did a rescue. In other words, they sat down and they blocked the entrance to an abortion clinic. And Cal said it was an unbelievable thing to do because as they sat down and blocked the abortion clinic, the police blocked off the street. So not only did they block the abortion clinic, they blocked anybody trying to get to the abortion clinic. The police did, right? And then they arrested Cal and arrested them all and then overcharged them and would not give them bail. Four nights, Cal Zastro was spent in jail for what eventually they got to a judge, and the judge released him on their own recognizance. In other words, he just let them loose. After 4 days of having been in jail, he just let them loose. Now, listen, what does that mean? There's going to be a consequence to pushing back against the darkness, friends. And we got to get over that. We got to get over that fear. Jeff and those guys, after 11 years, God delivered. We can't be afraid. Folks, listen, we have to count the cost, but we can't be afraid of the cost. You understand? Those are not the same. Count the cost, but don't be afraid of it. If you are doing a righteous battle for the Lord, his promises, he'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He'll be by your side. Come in and close, John, because I know you got to run.
Hey, yeah, no, I appreciate you having me on. I look forward to seeing everybody this weekend that can make it. I'm looking forward to hearing Brett. So I'm switching over to my cell phone. I'm going to have you guys on still, but God bless.
Okay, John. So John's going to be with us in Harrisburg this weekend. Those of you who want to come to the event that Bobby Lee's putting on out there in Harrisburg. So God bless, John. God bless, Jeff. I got to bring one more in. Ohio Brett calls me yesterday. Well, he doesn't call me, he texts me. Brett's coming to my house, and he says, Coach, I'll be there about 4 o'clock. And then all of a sudden he texts me. Listen, Hank, I'm sorry. I didn't know I was going to do this. Let me find Brett's text and listen to what he says. There you are, Brett. Brett says, Coach, I might be delayed. I'm thinking, uh-oh. I'm at Wendy's near 70 and 42. They're refusing me service. I told them, call the police. Then he texts back a couple minutes later. I just wanted to get a quick bite and check my email. And then I responded, and I told him, tell him you're from Florida. You don't have to wear a mask. He says, no, I'm mad. I told him, call corporate in Dublin. That's where Wendy's is, Dublin. He said, I told him, call the CEO, Todd Penninger. Call the CEO in Dublin. Why? Because Brett knows the CEO. Yeah, the CEO of Wendy's, who owned the guy over all the Wendy's. He plays golf with him. Brett does. And he says, while you're at it, call the franchise owner and his attorney, and I'm going to talk to them too. What law am I? Brett, come on in. Tell us this story, brother.
Hey, Coach, it's all of us have our own footprint, and I am so glad and thank God. I want to be obedient to God, and he brought me to this team, Coach. And nice. I've learned from so many, whether it's Larry and the friendship, the Folo, what he does, the amazing work, the Natural Family. There's so many, JR, Friends of Liberty United with Larry. But, Coach, this team's put together for a reason. I'm right. Just a strong safety. But yeah, I was mad, but I've got properly trained because I went out of the church just on Sunday, hanging out with you guys. I get trained by you, whether it's Mark Trump or Clay Parker or Chad or Randy or Rochelle or Reggie now down in Waverly. I'm learning, Coach. So I was ready. I was ready to say the right things.
So in other words, you walk in there, Brett, and she immediately says to you, we can't serve you or whatever. Instead of you being a good, compliant Christian and going back and driving across the street to McDonald's, you said, whoa. Take us through it, Brett.
I said, she said, sir, you need to have a mask on in here. I said, no, thank you. And she said it again, sir, you have to have a mask on here. I said, no, thank you. I have an exemption. And then she said, unfortunately, we can't, you're going to have to leave. Come through the drive-thru. All you have to do is come through the drive-thru. I said, ma'am, I was just trying to get a quick bite to eat. I got to check my email. I didn't tell her I was on a 21-day freaking blitz trying to give a forearm shiver of truth all over Ohio. But I said, no, thank you, ma'am. Is your manager here? And then all of a sudden, there's a crowd. All the workers, they stopped making hamburgers. They stopped making chili. They stopped making Frosty. Now I got a crowd. It was great. Hey, guys, just want to let you know, they don't work, number one. What law am I breaking? And then I shared the A-plus thing that we're going to have an A-plus rating. I said, call the police. Call the police. And then the big manager came out, and she was great. She was great. Sir, you know, if you don't want to go through the drive-thru, it is our policy. I said, ma'am, please call corporate. Call the CEO. Do you need his number? And I told him that quick story, and I say, oh, no, ha, 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 we're a franchise owner. I go, better yet, give me the franchise owner's name, because he probably owns 15 of these. I'll go to all of them, and I want the attorney number two, because I'm not putting a mask on. And then she disappeared. I could see her over there behind the Frosty machine on the phone. 10 minutes later, she comes out, sir, I will take your order. We will serve you. Go ahead and sit right there. I'll bring it right to you. And then she helped me get on the Wi-Fi. And then I had a chance. Hey, you know, Becca, that when are we going to stand up? Where is this going? And she just listened. You know, and of course, she had a mask on, so I can't read her facial expressions. What a horrific thing. And I don't want to take up time on this call. It's not about me. But I do want to say thank you so much, everyone, for your prayers, for your support. You've helped cover my finances on this trip. I say God bless you. Thank you so much. If anybody needs help, you call me, because I know what it is like to have a lot and have nothing. So, and nothing lasts forever. So somebody needed to hear that word today on this call. God bless you all.
So, Brett, you are now a blitzing strong safety. You're not just taking it anymore. Is that right, brother? You now have been equipped with the weaponry, and you are taking it to the enemy.
But I'm taking it to the enemy, but I'm not going in a foul mindset. I'm only going and trusting and obeying the word of the Lord and what I'm learning from this team. There are laws that we have to follow, and we have to be obedient. There is no other way. Anything else is a deception.
Brett, thanks, Brett. God bless you, man. Hang on, Larry and Dale, I'll get you in here in a second. I want you to know, friends, that yesterday, remember, I spoke to high school students again, and I just want to give you this nitty-gritty right up front. We are really, really, really in a world of trouble, because all of those kids in that room, they could not explain to me why they had to wear a mask. They couldn't explain it to me. And so I said, is it a law? And can I tell you the truth? They didn't care if it was a law. It didn't matter to them. And I tried to show them where following pretended legislation would take us. They didn't care. They're all about feelings and emotions, and they didn't care. I said, the next thing they're going to do is they're going to pass a mandate that they can kill your grandparents. Is that okay with you if the governor gives a mandate that they could kill your grandparents? I said, the reason they make laws is because if they make a law, then we can say, hey, that's unconstitutional. You can't do that. But if we continue to just follow executive orders and mandates and health department orders, we have no way to fight back. We have to demand a law. If wearing a mask is important, then make it a damn law. Don't make it an executive order or a governor's order. Folks, I'm telling you, they got no clue. They got no understanding of what's going on. Come on in, Dale. Dale was probably walking away the refrigerator. Go ahead, man.
You know, the thing down there in Tennessee, you know, I talked with Cal and Chet and everything. you know, one of the little caveats about that is that the clinic that they went to, the sheriff of that county is a pastor.
Oh, so are you listening to this? The sheriff that they called to come and arrest these guys is a pastor. And God's got a sense of humor, doesn't he?
So Chet, and they knew this, and Chet had been and prayed with that guy over, so they knew it was coming. That sheriff did not want to come inside of that building. Brother, remember Revelation, but for the cowardly and the unbeliever. Two separate categories of people. Brother, if you are ashamed of me before man, I will be ashamed of you before you and my Father in heaven. And that's it's funny, but that's exactly what transpired there. I had a mask issue yesterday, you know, and you're talking about when I went to Lowe's. And sure enough, brother, I thought I was going to get in a fight with this guy because he turned around. He was with his girlfriend or wife, whatever. And she turned around and said something because I wasn't wearing a mask. And I looked at him. I said, there's no law about it. And he turned around. He just started ranting and raving. I said, do you want to talk about this or do you just want to yell and scream? I said, because I will educate you on what law is and what law isn't. Well, I mean, it almost got the fight. Well, they call in the manager. I mean, get the manager, 2319. Well, when the manager comes over, they're looking at the manager, the store manager Lowe's, yelling at me. He ain't got a mask on. And the manager looks at him and said, sir, it's not our policy. And walked away. Amen. Walked away from him, brother.
So one heart at a time, folks. One heart at a time. And one of the amazing things that happened down there in Tennessee, the sheriff would not clear the entrance. They called the local police. The local police would not close it. And they ended up calling the state police. And when the state police came up, then they got some action out of it. But see, it goes back again to the doctrine of the lesser magistrates. The sheriff said, we're not enforcing that. We're not going to enforce that, right? Now, are there going to be consequences for that sheriff? Is he going to hear from the Justice Department? By the way, the sheriff overrules the Justice Department. Did you know that? Did you know the most powerful law enforcement agent in your state is the local sheriff, not the feds. So this
he should have overruled the state police. Coach.
He should have.
He should have overruled the state police.
Amen. That's the only way we're going to fight back. And when Naomi come in, Tim and Naomi, whoever that is, and then Randy.
I'm just curious about the high school students that you spoke to. Were they private school, public school?
Public school. Yeah, seniors. 18, 19-year-olds. Yes. Yep. And I'm telling you, they got no clue. Sadly, they got no clue. And so, you know, I I'm not going to take the time up to do it. Maybe I'll talk about it later. But boy, have we ever. I talked about cancel culture and made the argument that if they would open their eyes and look, the main culture being canceled is Christianity. Christianity isn't, folks, it's not allowed anywhere. It is not allowed anywhere. It's the ultimate cancel culture going on against the word of God. That's the point I tried to make to him. Come on in, Randy.
Yeah, Coach, RJ sent me a video. I watched it last night. It's Scott Tippin. Scott McKay, the Tipping Point. Sheriff Mack, Coach. He interviewed Sheriff Mack. He put it on video, and within just a matter of a few hours, they had it down. See, Coach, this doctrine of lesser magistrates, we need to get this in our hand and go to our sheriff's departments and make sure they understand that what they have. I'm telling you, I'm talking to these sheriffs everywhere I can. They don't understand their authority they have. Some do, but most don't, Coach. We need the doctrine of lesser magistrates in our hands and hand it to the sheriff of our county and say, please read it. Please get Sheriff Mack down here and give you guys an hour seminar or something. This is the key, Coach, to turning this thing around. I'm telling you.
I'm with you, Randy. And folks, if we could do a really good understanding of our Constitution, the 9th and 10th Amendments, basically the 9th and 10th Amendment says that anything not enumerated in the Constitution granting powers to the federal government, if they don't list it by name, those rights belong to the people and to the states, see? So all of these federal edicts coming down, the right to murder your baby does not apply to the states. Do you guys hear what I'm saying? It does not apply to the states. That's what states' rights were all, that's what the Civil War partially was fought about. And because the North won the Civil War, they tell us today that we don't have state rights. And that's just not true. Come on in, Larry, and then Jack.
Yeah, that the problem is just because the 10th Amendment says what it says doesn't mean jack squat today in our judicial process.
Right, right.
Because they have taken the word enumerated and they have substituted the thought of intended, because they've taken provide for general welfare. Anything the federal government wants to do, they can either put under two clauses. They can put it under interstate commerce or providing for the general welfare and make it welfare and make excuses for it. When yes, enumerated folks, does have a specific definition, but they don't care what the definition is.
So enumerated means, Jeff Klein, you own that car and that car and that car and that car, but you don't have that car and that car and that car. And enumerated powers, if this Constitution doesn't say the federal government can do this and they can do this and they can do this, then they don't have the power to do it. Folks, the Supreme Court does not have the power to rule that unborn babies can be killed. Why? It is not an enumerated power. That belongs to the state. It's medical, has nothing to do with them. Come on in, Jack. I know I'm singing your song.
Hey, Dan, this is just, what a great show. Great, great, great. Look, what I've been trying to say all along is choose positive law. Endorse, fight for positive law. Don't try to fight bad law. Make them refuse to defend their position against the law. Article 1, Section 10, the Second Amendment, the First and Ninth Amendment, Tenth Amendment, these are all so easy to defend. The problem is, as emotional people and actually lazy, we don't want to learn what these things really are.
That's right.
So it's much easier to say, oh, you can't do that. You can't do that. I'm a Christian. That goes against my principles. I'm sorry. That doesn't work. You have to defend law. Defending law puts them in the position of opposing law.
So, folks, let me give you a good example here. The right to keep and bear arms is an enumerated power, right? Can a state make a law taking away from you an endowed right? Can the federal government, can the state government take away from you a right that has been endowed to you by your creator? The Second Amendment, the well-regulated militia being necessary for the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. In other words, there can be no gun laws. Do you guys understand that?
Amen.
Shall not be infringed. Cannot be infringed. The federal government can't make a law against it, and the state government can't make a law against it. And how about this? If I'm driving down the road and I'm going to go to Washington, D.C., I can have my gun on my lap, or I can have my gun hidden in my car in Ohio, and I think maybe West Virginia, but if I cross over into Pennsylvania, do I now have to unload my gun? And then when I get into Maryland, do I put the bullets back in it? And then when I go into Washington, D.C., do I take, see, folks, enumerated powers. There are specific powers that the government has, and we have to hold them to the letter of the law. As soon as we allow them to infringe on those rights, we lose those rights. And the cancel culture that I tried to make the kids understand, and see, they don't get it. I ask the same question again. I'm not a racist, but am I allowed to be? I don't hate blacks, but am I allowed to? Right? You with me, folks? And that's what's going on. That's what the cancel culture does. The government, the society, whoever, they make a set of values. And if you don't agree with a set of values, they ban you on Facebook. They don't give you the right to free discussion, free speech. They don't have, if I wanted to say I was a racist and I want to be a racist, They can't come along and say, you're not allowed to be a racist. We're not going to listen to you. That's the cancel culture. That's what's going on. And I use this example. If Jeff Klein wanted to be my Facebook friend, any of you, how do you get to be my Facebook friend? Well, you send me a request, a friend request. And I say, yeah, Jeff, you're now my friend. And now that Jeff's my friend, we dialogue back and forth. And then what happens? Zuckerberg comes along and say, hey, Jeff, you're not allowed to hear what Coach has to say. And Jeff said, well, I friended him. So it doesn't matter. It doesn't meet our community standards. When in fact, the community standards is this. If Jeff doesn't like what I say, he can unfriend me, right? So I understand how this cancel culture is working. And it's, as I said earlier, boy, it's primarily against Christianity. Randy, then Dale. Come on in, Randy.
Coach, this is hypocrisy. Jesus looked him in the eye and he said, to the cancel culture I'm talking about. He looked him in the eye and he said, you hypocrites. Coach, we have to tell the truth. We can do it. I mean, I don't tackle people without a smile on my face. I have a smile on my face. I would look him in the eye with a smile and I say, you're a hypocrite.
Amen.
You're a liar. Coach, I'm not wanting to fight, but I'm wanting to tell the truth. And Amen. They need someone to stand up and look them in the eye and say, you're a hypocrite. They're cancel culture. That's not wrong. Jesus did this, Coach.
He did. He sure did, brother. And if we're going to keep maintaining our liberties, then we're going to have to fight for them. Come on in, Dale.
No, Coach, you said it. You didn't have a slip of the tongue. It truly is. I think it's a revelation. It is cancer culture. This cancer thing culture. Is infiltrated. Watch. How does cancer work? You don't even realize you have cancer for 8 or 10 years that it's in your body. This has been going on for a long time. This did not just spring up in our culture.
No, like that's right, brother.
Right. So what has happened is what has happened. And even like you go to these kids, you know, you get this little hour or two or even three or four. But these guys have been indoctrinated for weeks, months, years, brother. And their parents who have refused, right? Parents, rear your children up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord, because they have negated their responsibility and their position. This cancer is now, I don't know if it's stage 4 or stage 5. Now, brother, unto the gun thing, my body, my choice. My gun is my secret lover. Therefore, you're racist to tell me otherwise.
Dale, it's unalienable. Can't take it away from you. So I said to him yesterday, I hate BLM. That's what I said to the kids. It's on like a Zoom call. So I want you to know I hate BLM. But I love black people. They don't know what to say. Why do I hate BLM? I said, because I read BLM's platform and they're against nuclear family, mommy, daddy, kids. I'm not for that. I hate BLM. And then I said, am I allowed to hate them? See, that's where we got to get people to think. Individual rights. Not should I hate them, but am I allowed to? And who determines that I have to love BLM? Who makes that rule? How does Mark Zuckerberg get to tell Jeff Klein he can't communicate with me on Facebook, ban me for 30 days because Zuckerberg doesn't like what I say, even though Jeff may want to hear it? See, that's what's going on. And they've done it to us through the banning of Jesus Christ in the culture and in the society. The original shadow banned guy was the Lord Jesus Christ. They told us there was a separation between the church and state. That was even before Mark Zuckerberg was born. And they've been telling us ever since that Jesus has got no right to speak here. You're not going to hear from him. The ultimate shadow banning. Folks, it's right in front of us. And so I help the kids understand this. Seed of the serpent, seed of the woman. I said, why is the left, the seed of the serpent, always trying to shut the mouth of God? God doesn't try to shut the mouth of the evil. He lets them talk. But they don't want to let him talk. In fact, I come into this school, if I came in here every day and started preaching Jesus, would they let me in here? No, because they told you there was a separation between the church and state, the ultimate cancel culture. Do you see what's going on? That's where we are. So we have to open our eyes, see what's going on, and understand what our responsibility is and how do we operate in this cancel culture that we find ourselves in. Rochelle, real quickly, just got a minute left.
I just wanted to say that's what's behind what they want to dub hate speech and hate crime and all of this to make it even worse if you are thinking for yourself and maybe don't join in with their Black Lives Matter mentality.
Hey, man, do you suppose that Wendy's there at 70 and 42 in London, Ohio, where Brett was, you think they have a policy discussion yesterday? Anybody want to bet whether or not they had a policy discussion after Brett left? I guarantee you they did. How they're going to handle the next guy comes walking in. You think they're going to make him put a mask on? We'll see. So it all happens because why? We have got to learn to stand up for what is right, speak the truth, which is the embodiment of Jesus Christ, and then let the chips fall where they may, huh? Hey, we're going to win this thing. We're going to win this thing. God bless you, Jeff, for your faithfulness for 11 years. 11 years. 11 years. You didn't get any money, but you got pearls in your crown, brother. That's what you traded for right there. God bless you, folks. We'll see you tomorrow.